Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host
Anthony Siciliano.
Andrew Siciliano.
I have a man crush on one Andrew Siciliano.
Hey, hi.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If they had won, would Steve Wilks still be the DC today?
I think there's a strong chance that Kyle makes a change anyway.
Today's guests, Pro Football Focus analyst Brad Spielberger, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin, NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Also been known as Anthony before. I've been called worse. Hi there.
Good morning.
Also been called better, regardless.
A little frog in my throat, excuse me. Sinuses.
Hey, it's a Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're having a great week. The week is almost over. As somebody once said, hey, everybody, it's the weekend.
Let's go.
I am happy and ready to be here. I'm grateful that Rich has allowed me to sit in this chair. I'm grateful as well for the unnecessary and at times insincere laughter, because I can't be that funny for all three of you chuckleheads. And when I say insincere, I'm not taking a shot at you. I just know sometimes I'm not that funny, but you laugh either way. That's family. Chris Brockman.
Hey, my good friend day to you. Andrew. Good day, sir. Come see us at Riviera in about 4 hours.
You know what? I just got a text from my buddy. I think I'm down for that.
Hey,
everybody. Thanks for getting me seats, Brockman. You didn't. Michael Del Tufo.
Andrew, what's happening?
It's amazing you're here on a Friday. And
you're
not jetting off somewhere.
You're
not hopping on some private aviation vehicle and doing it for the gram. It is great to see you.
Good to see you, Andrew.
Okay. And TJ Jefferson, good to see you as well. Happy Friday, sir.
Happy Friday. I just want to let you know, I don't give courtesy laughs. I laughed at the beginning because of what you said pre-show.
Inside joke, outsider.
That was
funny.
Okay.
Yes. And as somebody once told me back in the day when you're doing the TV and the radio, never do the inside joke, because then if the listener, the viewer doesn't get it, then they don't feel included, right?
They'll be all right.
Right? Like you're with your significant other and you don't bring them into the conversation and explain what it is you're talking to, and then you're going to get a talking to later about that. Yeah, you can't do that. Oh, we got breaking news.
Oh, wait, really?
Wait.
What did the Cowboys do?
Oh, man, I'm trying to put the lineup out. What do we got?
This is from Adam Schefter. By the way, I'm NFL Network, but like, hey, Adam's a friend, so we could do the Adam Schefter breaking news here. Anthony Siciliano.
Whoa!
Raiders quarterback, at least for now, you know, for three more weeks until possibly he gets cut, Jimmy Garoppolo has been suspended 2 games.
What?
For violating the NFL's performance enhancing substances policy. Per sources, Schefter says the policy violation is related to him using a prescribed medication without having a valid therapeutic use exemption, per sources.
Look, we all know what that is.
Jim Garoppolo, 2 games suspension.
So many jokes.
For PEDs.
Remember when the Raiders signed him and I said his new nickname was the Chicken Hawk? I think that all falls into falls in the line there.
Listen, I don't know what it's for. Everybody has a story as to why they get popped. The story going around the last couple of years when guys get popped. And by the way, this is legitimate. It's hair restoration stuff that often gets flagged.
Really?
Correct. Now I'm thinning a little bit, I think. I don't think so. People say I have a good head of hair, but I can see
Andrew,
a little spot
short
in the beginning.
Great
Brockman's bald as all heck, but if you look there at James Garoppolo, this is just reckless speculation. You can see on the screen here, you can see a little bit thin in there at the front. I don't know. He's a good-looking man, so I'm told.
Well, Brockman will tell you.
I think we can all be objective about this. He's very handsome.
Brockman, your tweet just now, that is reckless speculation?
Well, I wasn't going to say it. I'll put it in print. I won't say it on the air. Well,
okay.
I mean, I think we were all thinking it.
He put in print that his performance enhancer is a blue pill.
I mean, come on. Everyone's going to have jokes today.
Listen,
I came out and said it.
Hey. So when I talk to college kids, when I talk to journalism schools, right? Like mostly kids from Syracuse calling and asking for advice. The one thing I always say, and this goes for social media, Brockman, Syracuse graduate, snark is not analysis. Okay? Snark is not analysis. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go for the funny. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't go for the low-hanging fruit here. Quote Mike Mayock, whoa, 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 low-hanging fruit. Okay? But you are just recklessly speculating that that's what it could be. I have no idea.
Everyone's tweeting about the financial implications. So Field Gates could void his 11.25 base salary guarantees from the Raiders.
Jeff Darlington jumps in. Probably just some awesome anti-aging serum that he must be taking. Right? Handsome man to handsome man there.
Yep.
Ian Rappaport, the end of Jimmy Garoppolo era, sources confirm he is heading for a 2-game suspension and release. Ian Rappaport says Jimmy Garoppolo to be released. Now, it has nothing to do here with his suspension, but if it does, maybe it does. If it voids some guarantees, it makes it easier for them to get out. The Raiders were not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo here. I will go back to the trade deadline. And I talked to some teams saying, why didn't you just go get Jimmy Garoppolo at the deadline, right? Or give up anything at the deadline. Isn't Jimmy Garoppolo better than what you have? Like, if I'm the Falcons, I go get Jimmy Garoppolo, and then I find a way out of his deal here in the offseason. You could have made a playoff push down the stretch. He's better than Taylor Heineke, who's right, likely about to get cut now, due $7 million. And we'll get into that coming up in a bit here. There are a whole bunch of NFL contracts. Brad Spielberger is with us in an hour here. He's from PFF, knows the salary cap. We're going to work the numbers here because the Bears yesterday cut Cody Whitehair, their longtime center, offensive lineman, interior OL, and they cut Eddie Jackson, the safety, former All-Pro, former Pro Bowler. They are, you know, clearing money ahead of free agency, and there is going to be a long list of notable names between now and the beginning of the new league year on the 13th of March that are going to get cut. Now, some guys may save it and not get cut because when they go to the combine in 2 weeks, their agents sit down with front offices with GMs and maybe they work out a redone deal and guys don't get cut. But Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to play again for the Raiders. We knew that, but this will truly, I think, lock it in. We'll get to the NFL stuff coming up in a second. Literally, the Garoppolo thing happened as we came on the air. Let's get the phone number out of the way. It is, as always, 844-204-RICH. You can watch us, hopefully you are, on the Roku channel here, channel 210, on Sirius XM, on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Regardless of how you are taking in this television, radio, multimedia program today, we thank you kindly for it. The biggest story in sports today is not the NBA All-Star game. It's not the fact that Tiger is right on the cut line after blowing it on 18 yesterday at Riviera, and it is going to be an uphill climb today for him to make the cut heading into the Genesis Invitational here in LA, his own tournament for the weekend. Brockman will be going out there later, hopefully with some sunscreen.
I'll wear a hat, obviously.
I forgot a hat today. I likely will be going out there later today as well. I think, maybe, we'll see. The biggest story in sports right now is Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark, who dropped 49 yesterday and did it a couple of minutes into the game from the timeline. Just Steph Curry'd it, or I'll say Caitlin Clark did, pulled up and nailed it from the timeline in transition.
So awesome.
To set the NCAA women's scoring record. She is still close to the all-time women's college basketball record because we used to have different governing bodies. She's 80 away from that. She's 98 away from Pete Maravich, friends. Now, Maravich did it in 3 years, not four. Caitlin Clark is selling out every arena she goes to. She is printing money for Fox College Basketball on weekends because those numbers are bonkers. She is the draw right now in college sports. Can you name a Duke basketball player? Can you name a UNC basketball player?
How about the Orange beating them a couple of nights ago as well? Hey-o, everybody. Hey-o. Yeah. We don't need to hang out and hit threes. We're going to attack the rack like Adrian Autry used to do. Anyway, you get my point. She's the biggest thing going on right now. Like, what else do you have to say? Like, she's an inspiration not only for young girls who want to play sports. She's an inspiration for anyone who wants to play basketball. Okay? We agree on that? Do we all agree on that? She's amazing. Yeah.
She's amazing.
She is must-see television.
Absolutely.
All right. Turn on your TV, Caitlin Clark, right? Hey, or Caitlin Clark is coming to town. Hey, honey, let's get the kids.
Yep.
And let's go down to the arena. Let's hop on your favorite ticketing app, Game Time, by the way. We'll read that spot 50, later.
50,000 in an outdoor stadium.
Let's go. Right? Yeah. Because she's coming to town.
100%.
So I'm leaving NFL Total Access yesterday after doing that show at NFL Network. Two shows daily. And I'm driving down Prairie to go home. Just, you know, LA geography here. Driving past the Intuit Dome. Almost done. The Clippers' new arena for next season. Looks beautiful. Odd inside, though. We'll get to that later. But I'm flipping around on the sports radios here on the touch screen on my electric vehicle. And I'm flipping through. And I don't remember which one it was. And that's the truth. I'm just flipping through. The sports stations are on the top of my presets. But I hit one. And this wasn't an angry rant. This wasn't like, you know, veins popping from the host's neck, or he wasn't pounding the table. But Caitlin Clark had just done her thing. And all I hear as I'm flipping through, just one sentence, a snippet here, a snippet there, a snippet there, right? The guy says, you know what? I tell you, she's great, but I don't think she could score even like 10 in a G League game. And I go, I mean, come on, really? Really? Is that what we're doing? Is that the low-hanging fruit, lowest common denominator sports talk that we're doing? She's the greatest women's basketball player we've seen. She just broke the NCAA record. Now, do you want to have a Cheryl Miller debate? Let's do that debate. That's a better debate. You want to do a Lynette Woodward debate? You probably don't remember seeing her play. I certainly don't. All right, before my time, I couldn't have that debate. And I realize basketball is all about the barbershop debate, whether it's Russell or Bird or Magic or Michael, ready, or Kobe or LeBron, right? Those conversations will go on when we are all 6 feet under. They will never end. And you throw Steph into the conversation and basketball player or players to be named later, inevitably they will come down the pike and win championships and they'll be part of that conversation. But are we really at the spot in women's sports right now where you have to throw in the she's good, but, you know, G League, I don't think she can hack it. That women's softball championship was great, but yeah, you know what? Let's see her dig in against her oldest Chapman. Yeah, but, I mean, just shut up. It is so stupid. It's offensive to, it's offensive to her. It's offensive to all women who play sports. Celebrate it. Celebrate it for what it is. We live in a day and age and a screaming head world on sports talk where it's got to be the loudest person on air to diminish an accomplishment, right? That's what gets the ratings and the numbers and the clicks and the viral and the, like, I'm done with it. Now, as I said, I didn't stop and listen, and maybe it was just a throwaway line. Maybe the host I was listening to and flipping around and caught a snippet of was actually pushing back against something somebody else said. I don't know. But all I know is that I'm flipping through the dial and I hear, you know, I don't know if she could even score 10 in a G League game. You know what? I bet you she can. But I don't care if she can. I don't. Because I celebrate it for what it is, which is amazing. Tell a story real quick that I've told before. So this goes back a number of years. And sadly, this person is no longer with us. But I used to be that guy who was on the radio. I was much younger, honestly, immature at the time. I was at Fox Sports Radio. This was 2005-ish, maybe. Okay. I was old enough to know better, but I was still doing the brash sports talk thing. Okay. And I don't remember who it was. I just don't. Help me. Tennessee women's star.
Candace Parker.
Thank you. I was drawing a blank there. Okay. Anyway, long story short, I'm doing a radio show here in Los Angeles, syndicated Fox Sports Radio. And I was going off about the WNBA. Like, no one really watched the WNBA. Angry, immature Andrew said, you know, it's all propped up by the NBA. No one's ever bought a ticket. They, you know, they hand out all the tickets. They paper the house. They only have a TV deal because the NBA makes the networks take the WNBA. Again, young, immature Andrew. And there is some truth to that, what I was saying back then, but I didn't need to say it in such a negative, derisive tone. It just, it wasn't necessary. Because, like, who am I? Tough guy on the radio ripping women's sports. Anyway, there's a point to the story. I promise I'll get there. My show was syndicated, as I said. A couple hours later, I get a phone call from somebody I know at Fox on the TV side and said, hey, Pat Summitt would like your phone number. May I give it to her?
Uh-oh.
And I went, sure, of course. Pat Summitt, legendary Tennessee coach. We lost, unfortunately, in 2016, but a Hall of Famer. Legend among legends, right? Legend. We were on in Tennessee. Pat Summitt heard what I said. Pat Summitt, the next morning, I get a phone call. Hey, didn't know the number back in the day. Maybe answer it. It was a Tennessee number. Said, hello. Andrew, yes, Pat Summitt here. Said, hi, coach. She goes, hey, I would love to invite you. We are at UCLA tomorrow night. You want to sit on the bench with me? And I said, sure. I go, well, coach, my show's on till 7. Your game tips at 7. I'm going to be a little late. She goes, don't worry. Seat will be there.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'll be there. I'm like, oh, boy, here it comes. Like, anyway.
What did you step in?
Anyway. So I get down with my show. I hightail it over the hill. I get down to Westwood. I probably double park, and I run inside. So she had the seat at the end of the scorer's table directly next to her. So not on the bench, but literally directly next to her because she was coaching right on the seat at the far end directly next to the scorer's table. So I got there maybe 5 minutes left in the half. Sitting there. I'm like, all right, what's coming? Anyway, UCLA was pushing for an upset. UCLA was leading at the half. Tennessee was either number one or number two at the time. Candace Parker's there. Anyway, we go to the half. She hadn't said a word to me because, I mean, she's coaching the game. The horn sounds. She looks at me and goes, hey, Pat Summitt. Hey, Coach Andrew, thanks for having me. Hey, you want to come to the locker room? I'm like, whoa, is that okay? She's like, nah, no one's taking their clothes off. Let's go. I'm like, all right. So I come to the locker room, and she gives her halftime speech. Candace Parker says something at halftime. They go back out there and whip UCLA's tail and win. Right? Candace Parker's amazing. And then afterwards, you saw the Tennessee team and the UCLA team stand there at the on the floor right up against the rail and sign autographs for a half hour of every little girl and fan that had lined up in the aisle to come down to the court. I then go with Pat Summitt into the locker room after the game. She gives a post-game speech, all of that. And then she said, hey, let's go step outside and talk. I said, okay. I'm like, okay, here it comes. And she says to me, hey, like, I like your show. I was listening to you a couple of nights ago. Obviously, you figured that out by now. Yes. So I heard you talk a couple of weeks ago about nieces or cousins you had in Chicago, young girls. I said, yeah. So have they ever gone to a Chicago Sky game? I said, no. She goes, they should. Because it's an inspiration for them. And these are good role models. Right? They may want to play sports. They may want to pursue a career and get a scholarship and get a better education and have a better life because of these girls playing basketball here on the biggest stage and playing basketball in the WNBA. No, could they go compete in the NBA All-Star game? No, they couldn't. Right? Are we going to get great TV ratings? Not necessarily. We're not. We're just not. Is the WNBA going to sell out everywhere they go? No. But they serve a purpose, and it's a good purpose, and it's an inspiration, and it drives young girls to have a better image and to play sports. And that pays dividends years later. And I went, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I am absolutely wrong. And I meant it. I wasn't just saying to get out of the conversation. Thank you for being so cool and professional and inviting me the way you did. Yep. Because this was an amazing experience. I said hi to Candace Parker. Like, I mean, she's a force of nature. Like, thank you for opening up my eyes. And I have had a different view on it ever since. And Pat Summitt, may she rest in peace. That's why she's a Hall of Famer. She won a lot of games and a lot of championships. Obviously, that's a huge part of it as well. But as someone willing...
A teacher.
...to teach,
yeah.
She's awesome. And I've looked at it differently ever since. And it just gets under my skin when I turn on the radio or I turn on the TV and I do and I hear the yeah buts. Yeah buts. Okay. I get it. No one is paying $5,000 to sit courtside at a WNBA game. I get it. But you know what? Just change your perspective a little bit and see the good in it. And Caitlin Clark is the not good, great in it. Well beyond good. Great like Mount Rushmore of it. And the positive influence she has on young women cannot be put into words. And oh yeah, she's making everyone money too. Everybody, because she's filling up arenas. Anyway, congratulations to Caitlin Clark. Did we want to play the SOT? Are we too late on that already? Because I've been talking too much. We'll save it for later. Michael Hoskins. All right, coming up next. What's more likely? Brockman, are you ready for that?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, we're coming up soon because you just looked surprised. It's the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk about DoorDash, people. We are a huge DoorDash family in my household. As a matter of fact, my wife loves DoorDash so much, she almost named one of our kids Door and the other one Dash. I'm serious. We get everything DoorDash to the house. Kind of like what we saw during the big game, right? DoorDash went all out for game day and DoorDash stuffed from all the ads to one lucky winner. Cars, snacks, even tax software. What a football game that was, for sure. It was one heck of a delivery for the winning team. And whatever watch party or anything party you've got coming up, get it delivered to DoorDash. You're going to love it. We sure do in my house. Football season may be over, but we are still in the thick of basketball games, the school year, and let's face it, winter. I could think of a million reasons daily to order DoorDash. So hop on the app and make your day a little easier. Get dinner for tonight, groceries for the week, or a consolation prize for your sad friends in San Francisco. All on DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more. Head to the DoorDash app to get everything you need delivered.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
What goes through your mind when you hear everybody wants one of you?
You know, it's flattering and humbling, Rich, but it's a result of the success we've had as a team. And, you know, it's nice. Just like, you know, but you know what, though? It is true, though. Like, we got great coaches on our staff. We got good players. It's a great reflection of our organization and what we've done. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. And to see guys that we've worked with over the last couple of years get opportunities with Matt and with Zach Taylor, you know, they're deserving of it because of what they've done on their own merit. And when they go in and compete for jobs, people say, man, we can see this guy leading our organization. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys thrive.
Have you told Kingsbury that he has the job because of you, too?
No, sure, that's the King, Cliff got his deal on his own.
Okay, no, I'm sure he did. I mean, you had you were knocking on his door too to join your staff. I know that. So you
well,
I
know he, you, when
you,
he was
you pantsed him according to.
I got him good, didn't I?
Yeah, you. That was pretty good. Told that to Schefter that
I did.
You totally. What did you do to him?
Well, basically, you know, he obviously has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He was out here doing some things, and Cliff was having dinner with him and a group of people, and we have a mutual friend, and I tricked him into thinking that, you know, he was tampering and that he was going to lose some picks. It was
that's what you changed somebody's name in your phone to Roger Goodell.
I did. Our mutual friend, he yeah,
so
I couldn't let this go on too long. So our mutual friend, a guy named Chaz Gessner, I put his number in my phone as Roger Goodell and had him send me a text that said, you know, hey, this is tampering. You know better than this. You guys are both, you know, and I showed it to Kingsbury and I said, you know, Mr. Goodell, he never texts me. I said, you better call Steve Kime right now. And his face... He was like, he said, I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, that's wrong. I mean, I couldn't let it go on for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it was a good but a bad joke, man. Okay. I mean, he's like, you ruined dinner, man.
That is a great story there. If you're watching the TV side, the Sean McVay, Cliff Kingsbury, Patrick Mahomes, Roger Goodell, fake phone number tampering story. One for all time. We are at the Rich Eisen Show desk, by the way. I am Andrew, sitting in for the aforementioned Rich. This desk, sturdy, strong, is furnished by Grainger. It's a well-made desk with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Updating the Jimmy Garoppolo story. He's been suspended officially now from the NFL for 2 games to open up next season. The NFL has confirmed it. They've done the release here. 2 games. It is for a PED suspension. Now, look, you could get flagged into PED suspension probably for taking Ozempic or something. I kid. I'm just making stuff up. I have no idea. It could be anything. It could be a legitimate performance-enhancing drug. It could be hair pills. I have no idea. But the key point here is that Garoppolo was due a roster bonus of roughly $11 million. That was the guarantee on the contract this year. The Raiders are now expected to release him, which was likely the case regardless. But now they're off the hook for the 11. So whatever it is that Garoppolo got flagged for is basically going to cost him $11 million bucks. $11 million American dollars.
Now, who signs him knowing that he's going to miss the first 2 games of the year?
It's a good question. I think along with that, Brockman, you have to ask, would he have signed somewhere to start? So does it factor? But it is certainly going to complicate things. Now, that doesn't mean he can't go through training camp. He could play in the entire preseason. He just can't be available for weeks 1 and 2.
Of course. I mean, at this point, I'll take him in New England to be the backup.
Would you?
Or Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think Jimmy Garoppolo's next job would be as a bridge quarterback while you draft somebody.
Right.
I think he can still play. I don't think he's going to take you to the playoffs. But, hey, there's a long list of teams last year, like I said, even when Garoppolo got benched and didn't play well, he had a litany of injuries, but didn't play well. And staying healthy has been a thing for him that they would have midseason gone up. Give me him. Like before the Browns struck gold with Flacco, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have been a better team than, you know, instead of PJ Walker. Go to the Vikings. Josh Dobbs had his, you know, 3 weeks of magic there, but Mike Garoppolo had been a better answer to finish out the entire season if you got him mid-season. Garoppolo in Atlanta better than Taylor Heinicke or Desmond Ridder. Might have gotten you into the postseason, right? I mean, you can go on and on and on. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is still a valuable piece to an NFL roster. Value in terms of what he gives you on the field, value of what you want to pay him, those are two different things. But now, $11 million, the Raiders are off the hook. Anyway, do we want to play what's more likely now? Brockman, you're making a face?
I'm not in charge. Are we doing it?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it!
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Hey, guys, what's up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you and yours.
Everybody good? TJ, you all right?
Chilling.
And I say to you and yours as well. I mean your lovely partner as well who just texted.
Hey, no, Del Tufo?
I'm good.
You good? You're here.
TJ, you seem down. Are you sure you're okay?
All right, guys. Here we go. Everybody chime in.
What's more likely?
I want to hear everyone's opinion on this, but be brief. Who is more likely to make it back to the Super Bowl next year? 49ers or Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Wow.
Yeah.
AFC is better top to bottom.
It is better NFC, top to bottom. They had this conversation a little bit on Good Morning Football today where they ranked with their whiteboards the top five teams to win it all next year. And everyone had the Niners on the list, but it is so hard to get back after losing the previous season. Look at the Eagles this year. I'm not suggesting that, you know, the Niners are going to face plant
sure,
the entire
Patriots
second
last,
half of the
Patriots
season.
Last team to do it, lost to the Eagles in the 2018.
It is hard to get back after losing. So I would say the Chiefs are more likely, although three-peat is even more difficult. It hasn't been done since the Packers in the 60s.
Non-Super Bowl era.
Non-Super Bowl era, but they count. And you know that's a stickler. That's a something that always grinds my gears, to quote Peter Griffin from Family Guy. The NFL is 104 years old. This was Super Bowl 58. Right? There's a big delta there. 104 years of Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry, 104 years of the National Football League. 58 Super Bowls. There were championships and Hall of Famers and games and legends long before we started calling the final game the Super Bowl. I digress.
49ers, your betting favorite, in case anyone cares about that. All right, TJ, what do you think? Niners or Chiefs?
Well, I mean, it's been said already. The last team to get back after losing, I don't know. Even the Chiefs, when they lost, they
Patriots.
Didn't get back.
Patriots did it five
the
years.
Patriots, even
five
when the ago. Chiefs last lost, they didn't get back the next year. It's hard to get back, so I'm going to have to say the Chiefs.
All right, two of the young QB darlings of this past season. Who's more likely to go further in the playoffs in 2024? Jordan Love or C.J. Stroud?
Ooh, that's a tough one. There is no wrong answer here.
No.
Which is part of the fun.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Or it's just massive speculation.
I'm going to say C.J. Stroud, even though, and I never thought I would say this, here's why. Because the division's tougher in the NFC North. I think the division is pretty darn good in the AFC South. It is a lot better as we sit here today than we did a year ago, than we thought a year ago, the AFC South. But I'm going to take C.J.
Ooh. TJ?
He's right about the Norris division being tough. But that being said, I would go Jordan Love and the Packers. I think I said this during the playoffs, Chris. I think the Packers in the next 5 years are going to win the Super Bowl. Mm. And so...
And that pains you to say that as a Cowboy fan.
It kills me to say it.
Del Tufo, do you know who either of these guys are?
No. No.
All right, how about this? Team most likely to go worst to first next year, win their division, Bengals or Chargers?
Ooh. If I say Chargers,
they're going to win the division.
Which
has the Chiefs in it.
Has the Chiefs in it. Bengals or Chargers?
Worst to first.
I'm going to say the Chargers. Here's why. Because the division is better top to bottom in the AFC North. Okay. The division is better top to bottom AFC North. And also, the Bengals always start poorly. So I think the Bengals are a playoff team. I think that the division is too good right now for me to simply hand them the division. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to win coach of the year.
Oh, lock it.
Period. Whoa. And I think that includes, I'm not going to give them a division title right now, but for the interest of this game, I'll take the Chargers.
TJ, thoughts?
This is a good one, man. I didn't think the Bengals played that awful last year when Joe Burrow was out, right? And it kind of made you think, well, man, could you imagine if...
Yeah, Browning was nice.
If he was actually playing. And then you got the Chargers and the Harbaugh effect. I think the Bengals division is tougher. So, yeah, I think the Chargers, believe it or not. But their division is also
really hard.
Really hard. But let's just say the Chargers for poops and giggles, as they say.
I think it's fun. It'd be nice if we could see the lightning bolt this year, right?
Show me your lightning bolt.
React to me. All right.
You on the 5 parking lot.
Rancho Cucamonga.
I'm looking for a golf call.
Who's more likely to be the Falcons starting quarterback this fall? Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, or the field, the mystery quarterback?
I will take... That's a good one, too. I don't believe it's going to be Cousins. I will... It's either, to me, Fields or the field.
Right.
Fields or the field. I'm going to say Justin Fields. Justin
so
Fields.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's the most fun scenario, I think.
Justin Fields
Falcons
running
fans.
Around the Georgia Dome, coming back home. Not the Georgia Dome. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yep.
TJ, you like Fields down there? Or are they going to draft somebody?
Like we talked yesterday, I would love for the Steelers to do something that's un-Steeler-like and make a move for one of these quarterbacks.
Would you like Justin Fields in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think that's a question better served for Steelers fans. I just think that they should do something that they don't normally do, which is make a big move. That being said, they probably won't. So I'd say Fields in Atlanta is probably...
How about a Fields-related one? Who's more likely to plank the playoffs if Fields is their quarterback? Bears, Falcons, Steelers. I just made that
Bears,
up.
Falcons. I'd say the Falcons. Yeah. How about this, though? I have an ESPN.com article up right now as they go through their experts with their roundtable. Just, a bunch of dudes trying to make predictions for next year. So it's Matt Bowen. It's Mike Clay, the fantasy writers, Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano, Matt Miller, Jordan Reed, Mike Tannenbaum, our friend Lindsay Theory. These are all friends. Field Yates, Seth Walder. Seth Walder's the analytics guy, right? He says the Browns should trade for Justin Fields. Said Deshaun Watson is sunk cost. He's going to get injured anyway. And why not have Justin Fields as your backup?
Same style quarterback.
Same style. Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, Deshaun's a far better passer.
Sure.
But that's interesting. I don't know that I buy it because Justin would have to be willing to sit there and be the number two
and not get an extension.
Right. Exactly. Right? They have far bigger needs than to flip a valuable second round pick for Justin Fields. You couldn't give up a 2.
They could keep Flacco for all that.
Right.
Flacco's not going back there. I mean, Andrew Berry says they would welcome him back, and they would. Mm-hmm. But Joe Flacco.
Easy thing to say. I'm going to get paid
somewhere. Go ahead.
All right, 2 more. Who's more likely to be the second position drafted in the first round in a couple of months? Wide receiver or tackle?
That's a good one. I would say wide receiver, but nothing would surprise me. The issue here is both of those positions in the first round, tackle and wide receiver, have amazing depth. Right? Much like in what year did Jedrick Wills come out? 2020, when it was Wills and Wirfs and Mekhi Becton and all those tackles at the top of the draft. Andrew Thomas was in that draft. It's like, I just need one of these guys.
Right.
Right. Now, you certainly had preferences. Some people thought Wirfs couldn't play left. He didn't play left until this year. Why do I draft a right tackle that high? Some people thought Becton was too big and, he couldn't stay in shape. Those people were kind of right. Some people didn't love Wills. Oh, he's just the next big Alabama tackle coming out. But either way, right, you had all those guys at the top. This year is similar with Alt and Olufoshanu. And Fuaga from Oregon State, who's a right tackle but could kick inside, could play left. You have all those guys. And then you have Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, yep. Keon Coleman. How fast is he going to run? By the way, Bucky Brooks coming up later. You have all those guys. I would say I'm going to go Marvin Harrison because I think he is the first non-quarterback taken. But I will tell you that as we get closer to April 25th, Roma Dunze is going to be in the conversation, potentially passing Marvin Harrison. Ooh. You will hear that.
Oh, man.
I still think Harrison goes ahead of him, but there will be chatter after we leave Indianapolis. Some people like Roma Dunze.
Wow. All right, last one, and this is fun. This is just for us. Okay, who's the more likely person on this set to enjoy their baseball summer the most?
Ooh.
Andrew, TJ, or myself?
Okay.
Obviously, that's Guardians, Mets, Red Sox. Sorry, Mike. Yankees don't matter.
Oh, wow. Yankees are all is more likely? Did you hear, Brockman, tossing it to you, that Netflix
is doing a Red Sox,
Red Sox show, right? But it doesn't come out until next year. Right? It's not going to be a as the season goes hard
right,
knocks.
Right, not a hard knocks thing.
Which it's to me is disappointing.
Look, it's kind of a look back.
Like, why would I want to watch a baseball show a year later? That's just me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be good.
I'm glad we're focused on that and not signing free agents.
Right. So I don't think it's going to be the Red Sox.
No, we're going to be terrible.
I think the Guardians have potential here. New manager, I have no idea what Stephen Vogt's going to be like. I have no idea. The Guardians need young hitters, and whether it's a Rule 5 guy or whether it's a Brian Rocchio, to actually hit. They need that to happen for once, okay? Stephen Kwan can't happen once every 10 years. Uh-huh. You need somebody from your farm system. Kyle Manzardo, who obviously came over in the Savali trade. Somebody to actually hit.
Jose Ramirez, best player nobody knows about?
Jose Ramirez, Hall of Fame track, no one knows, okay?
TJ, I'm you got anxious. The polar bear, baby.
I'm anxious about the Guardians. As for the Mets, are they going to cheat and put guys on the injured list this year? Like, what are they going to do? I have no idea. TJ, your thoughts.
So, Chris, you're saying Alonso's back, but David Stearns, the team president, says a deal is not likely for him until his free agency hits. So
that's crazy.
What are you guys doing? How am I going to enjoy my summer?
Like, what are you doing?
Knowing that my favorite baseball player, Pete Alonso, could be mere months away from
getting
packing
traded?
His bags. Yeah. And either getting traded or just going to the other side, another borough, and suiting up for Del Tufo's team. How am I supposed to enjoy my
baseball? So basically, none of us are going to have a great summer.
I'm going to enjoy this summer.
I plan to have a great summer. The Guardians will give me anxiety every day. And that's the thing about baseball, too. I know everyone has felt this. Like, TJ, you and me, our football seasons ended the same weekend.
Yes.
Right? As Browns and Cowboys fans. And then you sit there. I don't know if you do this, but I have a self-loathing then wash over my body. Right? Where it's, why did I expend this much emotional energy? And actually time as well, because it's not just emotional energy, it's energy with your favorite team. Like, what have I done? Like, what could I have done better with my life the last 6 months? Baseball takes a different form because part of your life for 3 hours every single day
for six months. It is the background noise
in my home for six bleeping months.
And if your baseball team stinks, it makes for a really long summer,
Chris,
man.
You and I, we say that all the time. When your team's out of it,
it's
the beginning
a
of
long summer,
May or June. Pff, what's
I'm
going to
say the Guardians. I'm going to say it's going to be the Guardians.
I agree.
I'm
going to
go out there. Okay, it's going to be the corner of Carnegie and Ontario.
Hey.
That literally is the center of the baseball universe this year. I'm wishing that into existence. I am. Okay, I might believe it. Maybe I believe it, but I'm wishing it into existence. All right, right around the corner. Who is going to get cut in the next few weeks? It is cut season in the NFL. We have some names. That is straight ahead.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Dillatesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for Celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence. Strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall.
Strip
poker.
Strip sack. Could be even
strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away. And you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
I have a really bad habit of playing only to the TV audience on this show and reacting to the clips we have on the Roku channel, the radio audience. For those who don't know, I do this every time. We just had a thing here with an old Super Bowl clip with Rich and the great Steve Harvey. Stop me if I've told you this before. I once sat across the aisle on a plane on a flight with Steve Harvey, and he had his assistant with him, who was dressed exactly like Steve Harvey with the hat and the outrageous suit. Like, that's an idea, right? Like, you must dress, if you have an assistant, exactly like your boss. Like, go to White Lotus 2, Porsche. What if she dressed exactly like what's Porsche? Anyway, I digress.
Like Jennifer Coolidge?
Like Jennifer Coolidge.
Good one.
Portia, you have to leave. Anyway, 844-204 Rich. Let's take some calls. Let's go to, I don't bring this up, right?
You do? You have it now. You can look at it and see. We could just go right up
no,
the top.
No, but I don't hit the button.
Oh, no. AJ in Michigan.
AJ
what's
in
up?
Michigan. What's going on, man?
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
What do you say?
I want to throw a take out there about the Bears draft.
Throw it out, AJ.
What if the Bears take Williams at one, and I'd call up New England or somebody and offer Fields and my 9 pick and maybe even a third rounder and try to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Throw him out there side by side with DJ Moore, and you got Caleb Williams. You know, no excuses then. You got him some weapons.
I like the idea of trading Justin Fields to the Patriots. I don't like the idea, just me, of trading 9. I would trade Justin Fields for a 2. Right. And then I have 1, 9 and what would it be? 35. I'd rather have 1, 9 and 35 than 1-3. That's just me.
Yeah. You don't want to give Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that'd be a great, great thing for him on his rookie season.
I totally agree, but I would also not mind taking Malik Nabers at 9 and go Caleb Williams, Malik Nabers. AJ, thanks for the call, man. And then something at 35, like an offensive lineman, at right? Something there. Just me, potentially. But hey, we got 3 months to do this, right? Joe is in Florida.
What's up, Joe?
Joe, what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, man, I was wondering, what do y'all think about the Bucs? What do y'all think about what they're going to do with Baker? And if Mike Evans decides to just bounce on us and decides to go to, like, Dallas or something and play with CD Lamb?
I wouldn't blame Mike Evans if he did, but Joe, I'll say this. I spoke to Baker last, what day was it? Wednesday, I think? Maybe last Monday, whatever it was. I spoke to Baker last week, and he said that, and this is a quote, we want to get the band back together, and he pounded the table for Mike Evans. I think he also would love to see, and Joe, thanks for the call, he would also love to see what free agency looks like, but he and his wife Emily are expecting, there's a little girl coming in April. I think Tampa fits him well, like, on so many levels, and I think he really wants to be back there. I'm not saying there's a hometown discount. Baker's made plenty of money off the field. I think Baker, again, no hometown discount, wants to stay there and wants to have Mike Evans with him. He said when I was interviewing him that, quote, Mike Evans deserves to be a Buck for life, end quote.
Yeah, we had Baker on. In our Super Bowl show, said the same thing, even though off air, I was really lobbying him to come to New England.
Mm-hmm. What did he say to that?
He was very polite about it. He gave me a lot of laughs and was like, yeah, they got a lot of my old guys. And I was like, what do you think? And then he kind of walked away and went on the talk.
Chris 1000% tampered.
I have somewhere else to be.
Yeah, I don't want to get accused of tampering, but I was doing my best.
Yeah, I've interviewed Baker a whole bunch. My favorite part of the Baker interview last time, I don't remember how the Browns came up, but I said, hey, can we just, I said, you're rooting against the Chiefs, right? Because Rashard Higgins should have gotten the flag when Sorensen hit him helmet at the end of the second quarter reaching for the pylon and you guys got screwed then, right? And he just kind of smiled and nodded. I'm like, okay, man, I love you again.
Yeah, Baker's good people, man.
Yeah. It's funny with him. I didn't like the pick. I'll say this. But the second the pick was made, I wanted Sam Darnold. Okay. I would have been wrong as well. Josh Allen should have been the pick or Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen went 7.
Well, you're playing the results.
Of course. So Lamar Jackson went 32. But Baker turned out to play well. All right.
Baker, when healthy, Baker's been great.
Baker brought life back to the building. They made the playoffs, won a playoff game. I maintain Rashard Higgins should have drawn a flag there on when Sorensen hit him helmet to helmet. Regardless. Could have won in Kansas City. Mahomes was hurt. Should have won. Like the what ifs in that game, by the way, if the Browns had pulled that off. But I digress. So I wasn't a fan of the pick when it was made. But then maybe a month after that, a couple of weeks after that, I went to Cleveland for NFL Network and we did a show from Browns camp, mini camp, and talked to Baker off air for about 15 minutes, standing off to the side of the field. And after about 2 minutes, I went, nah, I'm good. This guy's cool. He's not who you think he is.
Yeah, totally.
Like, totally gets it. Had a conversation about anything other than football for 15 minutes. And I remember my brother, big Browns fan, season ticket holder. When I got done with that conversation, I texted my brother. I'm like, they're going to be fine. Like, he's cool. And Baker's not necessarily what you see in the commercials. I'll just say it that way. All right. NFL cap casualties coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, oh, man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.